Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenbaugh. This is episode 148 of the podcast. I'm calling it our football knowledge bomb. Don't fret. Your college football episode will be coming on Thursday. Your NFL episode will be coming on Friday. And I'd imagine a lot of you are interested in those two pieces of content because over the last 2 weeks, we are 15-3 against spread, buddy. 15-3. We've also hit both of our teasers, but we don't count that towards the overall total. So again, your college football episode will drop Thursday. Your NFL episode will drop on Friday. Today is our football knowledge bomb. John Murray from the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas is going to join us in just a few minutes. We've got a bunch of questions for him on college football, on pro football, just kind of a refresher course and a preview to look ahead towards the college football playoffs, bowl season, as well as the NFL playoffs, and some trends we should be keeping a very close eye on. And speaking of trends we should be keeping a very close eye on, let's start with a knowledge bomb of our own. Ask and ye shall receive. I have been getting an inordinate amount of correspondence from many of you regarding a popular NFL trend that we discussed on this podcast last season. So I did some digging for an update, and guess what? There are two games on the schedule this Sunday that fit the trend. Whether or not we play them, you'll find out Friday. But you might want to once you hear what we have to say. Here's the trend. Since 2015, there have been 20 instances in which an NFL team played a game in London, then went on their bye week following the London game. Relatively simple. You play in London, then you go on the bye. However, here's where it gets good. In the week after that bye week, those 20 teams are 15-5 straight up, 16-3-1 against the spread. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So since 2015, 20 instances in which an NFL team played a game in London, then went on the bye. And then when they came off the bye, those 20 teams are 15-5 straight up, 16-3 against the spread. Now you may look at those numbers and say, but wait, Fortenbaugh, there were 24 teams that played in those 12 London games. How can there only be 20 instances? Great observation. That's because four teams came back from London and didn't serve a bye week. They just jumped right back into their schedule. In 2016, the Indianapolis Colts immediately came back to play the Chicago Bears. In 2017, the Baltimore Ravens came home and immediately played the Steelers. The Jacksonville Jaguars came home and immediately played the Jets. A week after that, New Orleans and Miami played in London. New Orleans came home and served their bye. Miami didn't. They played Tennessee. This leads us to Sunday. For those of you who have been paying close attention, there are two teams coming off a bye from last week who played in London 2 weeks ago. That would be your defending champion, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Eagles are currently 6.5-point favorites against the Dallas Cowboys Sunday Night Football. The Jags are currently +3 at Indianapolis to take on the Colts. So keep your eyes on the Jags. Keep your eyes on the Eagles as they fit the trend. And for those of you who are interested in how this trend has fared this season, take a listen. The first London game took place October 14th between the Seahawks and the Raiders. The Seahawks went on their bye, then went to Detroit and annihilated the Lions. The Raiders, however, came home, served their bye, and got throttled at home by the Indianapolis Colts. Tennessee and the Chargers faced each other the following week, served their bye, and were in action this past weekend. You'll notice the Chargers went to Seattle and hammered the Seahawks, while the Titans went to Dallas on Monday night and took care of business against the Cowboys. So far this season, between the four teams that have gone to London, served their bye, and then played the following week, you're 3-1 straight up, 3-1 against the spread. So again, keep your eyes on the Eagles over the Cowboys and the Jaguars over the Colts this Sunday. All right, I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Now, they're going to start odd, and then they're going to get more and more obvious. Do you like monkeys with knives? Like I said, this is intriguing, but perhaps a bit odd. Do you like sports gaming? Now we're starting to warm up. Do you like winning money? Now we're there. Then check out monkeyknifefight.com. That's monkeyknifefight.com. It's the new 100% legal gaming site that everybody's talking about. They have dozens of games and chances to win. Games like Over Under, where you win if you nail two player-based props or hit five props and the winnings even bigger. So play now. Enter the promo code COVERS and get a $5 free game and an exclusive instant deposit match up to $100. That's the promo code COVERS. And if you go into the bio of this podcast, the link is right there. Click the link, use the promo code COVERS. Boom. That's monkeyknifefight.com, monkeyknifefight.com.
Going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
To the Southern Nevada desert we go. He's joined the program before. One of my favorite guests. You can follow him on Twitter at Vegas Murray. Sportsbook director at the Westgate Superbook, John Murray, joining us here on the Sharp 600. John, I appreciate you making time for me today, man. How's life been treating you?
Everything's good. You know, we definitely had a tough day on Sunday, but we did very well on Monday Night Football. We did really well on the big Raiders 49ers game from Thursday. And Saturday we did okay. So overall for the weekend, we came out fine.
You know, let's jump right into that. I was going to ask you about the Raiders a little bit later in the podcast, but we'll start there. How are people viewing them? Is there any way, in essence, that you can put a bet on the Oakland Raiders right now?
I think everyone's viewing them as a team that's written off the 2018 season. So we're probably going to need the Raiders in just about every game they play for the rest of the year. But, you know, I've gone on record many times as saying that I think the Raiders are absolutely doing the right thing. I think that they have five first-round picks in the next 2 years. I think that Dallas pick is going to be higher than people think it's going to be. Their own pick should be probably be in the top three for the next two seasons. And they're going to have all kinds of cap room over the next couple years as they move to Nevada. So I think the Raiders – this year is a lost season for them, but I think the Raiders are doing the right thing.
All right, now let's go to the other end of the spectrum where there are some teams having an unbelievable amount of success. New Orleans and the Rams, a big game on Sunday, possibly an NFC Championship preview. After New Orleans beat the Rams, what did you do with your power rankings in the NFL? Because I'm curious to know, when you follow the media, their power rankings are generally just standings. And as soon as the Saints beat the Rams, you had a lot of people moving the Saints to number one and then downgrading the Rams to three or four. Personally, I love the way the Rams played in that game. And I think if they played on a neutral or in L.A., they would beat the Saints. I might still have the Rams as the best team in football. How do you see it?
I still have the Rams as number one in my power ratings. I mean, the fact that the Rams went off favored in the Superdome on the road, that shows you right there that – They're a better team than the Rams, according to the odds makers. You know, you don't want to just look at one game, Joe. You don't want to just say, oh, they won, so now they're better. The Rams were favored in New Orleans, so that means the Rams are ahead of the Saints, at least in my power ratings. And I would have New England and Kansas City ahead of the Saints as well. I would have the Saints fourth behind those three teams. I think Pittsburgh is the team that's quietly creeping up the ladder, though. That was a very good win for them on the road in Baltimore on Sunday.
All right, let me ask you this. Pretend I'm the bookmaker and I offer you a prop. And I say you can either have the Saints, Rams, Chiefs, and Patriots to win the Super Bowl, or you can have the field. What type of odds would I need to give you to take the field?
It would be very hard for me to take the field because I think those four teams you just named are going to have the four byes. And it's just so hard to win the Super Bowl without that first-round bye. I mean, I know we've seen it a few times, but it's a very difficult thing to do. I would need at least 3-1, maybe even more than that, to consider taking the field. I like the Vikings. I like the Steelers. I think the Chargers have as much talent as any team in the NFL, but I don't trust their coach, Anthony Lynn, whatsoever.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I made an all-L.A. pick for the Super Bowl, and I watched the Chargers, and every year it's the same thing. Tons of talent, and then they find ways to shoot themselves in the foot. John, they can't kick extra points, for crying out loud.
No, Anthony Lynn, I've seen him botch these end-of-game scenarios several times this season. He really botched the Tennessee game. That game was in London a few weeks ago. He got away with it because his defense stopped Tennessee on its two-point conversion that would have won the game. I thought he botched the end-of-game situation on Sunday. They were up by, I think, 8, and they just ran the ball up into the middle of the line 3 times in a row and punted and gave Russell Wilson in Seattle plenty of time. Seattle almost scored what would have potentially been a tying touchdown in that game. I don't like the way Anthony Lynn handles the end of these game situations. He's getting away with it because his team is just so talented. And with a healthy Joey Bosa, they could be the most talented team in the AFC behind Kansas City.
What do you make of trends? I want to get it from someone who's in the business, because on one hand, you'll have guys that'll throw out a variety of trends for a game. I've been known to look at trends. I like trends if I feel they fit the scenario appropriately. But for example, I think I stumbled across one this morning that said the Niners were like 26-6 against the spread over their last 32 Monday night games. Well, great, but none of these guys were around for the majority of those games. Neither was the coaching staff. So I find that to be completely apropos of nothing. As a bookmaker, do you pay attention to trends? Do they matter at all to you, or is it on a limited basis?
That's really not something we're talking about a lot, to tell you the truth. Like, I would, something like that, I'd throw that out the window because of what you just said. Those Monday night games occurred when different players were playing for the 49ers. And I always laugh at some of the trends I see on Twitter or some other space where it's like they're 7-2 in their last nine. It's like, well, okay, a nine-game sample size means absolutely nothing. So there's a lot of trends that I would throw out the window. There's some things that we do look at, like in the NBA playoffs, for example, a team down 0-2 going home for game three has performed very well in the first quarter and the first half.
Oh, yeah, I remember that from last
year.
That's
a trend that absolutely we would keep an eye on. And I noticed some sharper players of ours betting that same trend in hockey in last spring's playoffs, where you'd have a team down 0-2 in game three. They'd bet that team in the first period. And that was very successful. That won almost every time. So I'm definitely going to keep that in mind when we get to the spring. And I'll remember that when the NBA and the NHL playoffs roll around. But the kinds of trends you're talking about, Monday night football trend that might go back 30 years, I would put no stock in that at all.
I'm just tattooing that NHL trend to my arm right now so I don't forget come spring.
That's a good one, man. That one did very well. I think it won every time, and there was one push. But it was teams that were down 0-2. They'd go home for game three. That first period play was the nuts. At least it was this year. Nothing's guaranteed going forward.
All right, so let me fire this trend at you. I talked about it on the front end of this podcast. See if it makes any sense to you at all, or if you'd even weight it in any way, shape, or form. Since 2015, there have been 20 instances of teams playing in London and then coming back and serving their bye week. Those teams coming off the bye week are now 15-5 straight up, 16-3-1 against the spread. Now, there are four teams in that mix who came back from London and didn't serve a bye week. So they're not in the equation, because when you add up the games, there were 12 games and 24 teams. But of the 20 that came back, served a bye, and then played the following week, 15-5 straight up, 16-3-1 against the spread. Most recently, the Chargers this past weekend, as well as the Titans on Monday night. Do you make anything of that?
I would make something of that if they were greatly outperforming other teams coming off of their buys. Like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but
good call.
If it was significantly better than just teams coming off of their buy in general, then I think it's something we could look at. I forgot another good one. Teams in the NBA that go to Asia, I think China, for a preseason game, and then when they come back to the United States for their first regular season game, they've performed very poorly against the spread.
Suns over Mavericks this year. I remember. I was all
and
over that one.
I think the 76ers as well. They yep. came back from the same trip, and they got blown out by the Celtics in the first game. So stuff like that. I'll look at travel as a trend. I mean, I think there's some merit to that. And if that trend you mentioned, if it outperformed the general bye week stuff, I would definitely keep an eye on that next season.
Last question before we transition to some college football talk. I'm a big fan of six-point teaser plays, and I think there is a way to go about doing it. For example, a team that might be a seven-point favorite or an eight-point favorite, teasing them through two key numbers, like seven and three, to get it down to two. Now, I've never advocated that it's the smart play or the value play. I just personally really enjoy them, and I tend to have a little bit of success with them. How do you view teasers? Some people say sucker bets. Other people enjoy them. Where does a bookmaker like you land?
College football teasers are for suckers.
Yes.
But the NFL teasers, the ones that you're mentioning, are absolutely good plays. The six-pointers where you go through the key numbers of 3 and 7, we see a lot of sharp guys do that. We saw that over the years. And that's why we now charge much higher juice for teasers here at the Superbook at the Westgate than other books do. We'll charge you -140 for a six-pointer. And the reason is because we've seen so many people win betting those exact teasers over the years. If you can do those six-pointers at -110 and go through three and go through seven, like, for example, a team that's +2, you tease them up to +8. If you can do that at -110, I like your chances. I think that's a very good bet.
Beautiful. All right, let's transition to college football. Big game this past weekend, Saturday night, Alabama rolls into Baton Rouge and hammers LSU on their home field, do you see any team in college football at this point worthy of a game with Alabama? I know a lot of people like Clemson. Some people are on the Harbaugh train, but is anyone going to give these guys a legitimate fight?
I think Clemson can. I think Clemson has they have enough talent defensively. I think they have the best defense in the country. I think Dabo Sweeney's a great coach that doesn't get enough credit. I think he made an excellent move, benching Bryant for Lawrence. They now have the ability to throw the ball up the field, what they didn't have last year with Kelly Bryant, what they didn't have at the start of the year. And I think another thing to keep in mind is Nick Saban had a month to prepare for that semifinal game last season. We saw what happened. If they play each other in the championship game, it'll be about 10 days after the semifinal games. So Saban won't have that full month to prepare this time that he had last time. I'm not saying I think Clemson's going to win, but I definitely think Clemson can give Alabama a game. I think they're the one team that matches up with Alabama athletically. They've got all these first-round picks on that defensive line. I definitely think they're capable of giving Alabama a good test.
All right, I want to revisit that game in a minute, but right now, how do you see the top four shaking down by the time we reach the playoff? Who do you think the last four standing are?
Well, certainly Alabama. I can't imagine Clemson losing to anybody on their schedule, frankly. I know that Boston College is having a good season. I don't think that they can win that game. Clemson, I'll go ahead and put them in as the number two seed. I don't think Notre Dame is going to lose either. And I've looked at their schedule. I don't see it happening. I think Notre Dame wins out. They're the three seed. So really it comes down to that four seed. If Michigan beats Ohio State and wins the Big Ten championship game, it's going to be Michigan. I'm a West Virginia grad, so I'd like to think the Mountaineers could beat Oklahoma and then win the Big 12 title game and get in. But that's not going to happen. If Michigan wins out, Michigan is going to get that fourth spot. I love Jim Harbaugh. I love that defense. I think we're going to see Michigan-Alabama in the other semifinal game.
All right, now back to what we were talking about earlier. Do you have an advanced line for a potential Bama-Clemson national championship showdown? If so, what is it? And then the follow-up to that, has anyone been betting into it yet?
Well, we put it up on Sunday. We talked about it on Sunday morning right after the NFL games kicked off. We were all kind of just rehashing the game from last night and chatting. And we said, let's just put the thing up because it's probably going to be the championship game. And we put up Alabama -8.5. Now, it's important to remember that's only action if they play in the championship game. If they somehow play each other in a semifinal game, it's a refund. If the championship game is anything else, it's a refund. We did have one guy take Clemson +8.5, a sharper guy bet it for $1,000, but we didn't move the number. I'm pretty sure we're going to have plenty of support for Alabama if that game does come to fruition.
Speaking of Bama, if for some reason their quarterback, star quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, if he would go down with an injury and they would have to shift over to Jalen Hurts, because we kind of went through a little bit of this in the LSU game, if they would have to move from Tua to Jalen Hurts, what's Tua worth to the spread? How much of an adjustment would that be?
Well, it's a very interesting question. And if Tua couldn't play this week, I don't think the line moves at all, because Tua's probably not even going to play late in the game this week anyway. Jalen Hurts is probably going to come in and mop up duty anyway. So I don't think it would really make any difference to the point spread. Maybe you'd see it move by a point or so. But if Tua couldn't play against Clemson in the national championship game, I think you'd see this line come all the way down to Alabama in the neighborhood of -3 or -3.5, because he adds such a dimension to that offense that they just don't have with Jalen Hurts. I think they need Tua to beat Clemson in the national championship game.
Good stuff. Last question on college football. Are there teams that the Sharps like to ride pretty consistently? Like, I don't fancy myself a professional bettor. I think I have a little bit more knowledge than the average bettor, but if I find something I like, I'll keep an eye on it throughout the course of the season. For example, I've been following Fresno State all year. Yeah. Since Jeff Tedford came back to the sideline last season, 19-3-1 against the spread. They've been unreal. I know a lot of guys like Utah State and the Utah State over. Are there teams the Sharps find themselves on, like, on a consistent basis?
Jeff Tedford has done an absolutely incredible job.
Oh, yeah.
Fresno State. It's a really remarkable job. Yeah, I'll give you a team that we've seen Sharp guys back very consistently this season, Charlotte. We see them almost every week. The Sharp guys are taking Charlotte. They took them last week against Tennessee. They covered in a loss against Tennessee. And I saw some sharp money come in on Charlotte again this week. The Sharp group took +14.5. They're on the road at Marshall. And that's a team I've seen get supported by Sharps several times this season. And another thing I've seen Sharp guys do with consistency is go against Alabama.
That must be fun.
Our Sharp groups take A&M plus the points, Louisiana, Lafayette plus the points, Missouri plus the points, that one lost. And are we already seeing some sharp money come in on Mississippi State at plus 26 and plus 25.5 this week's game at Alabama? Makes sense to go against Alabama this week. Classic letdown spot after the big win over LSU this past Saturday.
Last question. You guys are obviously very fixated on a very popular time of year for sports, NBA, NHL, full swing, college, pro football, all that stuff. Were you paying attention at all to the election? Not from a betting perspective, but from a bill passage perspective. I wanted to get your thoughts. Like the Miami Dolphins tweeting out that people should vote against a certain bill that would have cut down sports betting legislation. Like the Miami Dolphins were out there advocating for sports betting. That's got to be pretty cool to see.
Oh, for sure. I did. I was watching most, like last night when I got home, I mostly just watched election coverage instead of the games, to tell you the truth. Another thing in Florida was they banned greyhound racing. And we have a couple greyhound racetracks.
Oh, really?
I used to go
to those when I was a kid. My parents would take me there to watch the dogs run.
Yeah, not anymore. They banned that, and certainly I saw that bill. I think sports betting is good for everybody. And, you know, frankly, some of these NFL games, I don't know how anybody could watch them if they didn't have some kind of action on them. And I'll start right at the Jets-Dolphins game this past Sunday. I don't know how – like, why would you watch that game unless you were a fan of those teams or you had some sort of an investment on the game?
It's brutal.
The NFL absolutely knows that sports betting, and of course fantasy as well, is good for their ratings, and those ratings put money in everybody's pocket. And anybody pretending like that isn't true is just being dishonest.
Follow him on Twitter at Vegas Murray, sportsbook director at the Westgate Superbook. The guy's a fast riser. He's appearing on media coverage all over the place. Get to know him because he's going to be a real big name in the very near future. John Murray joining us here on the Sharp 600. John, I always appreciate the time, man. Once again, it was a true pleasure getting to speak with you.
Yeah, man. Anytime, Joe.
This son of all night, chick, he tripped me.
Sayonara to episode 148 of the Sharp 600. Big shout out to John Murray from the Westgate Superbook. The dude is a stud. Follow him on Twitter at Vegas Murray. And an even bigger shout out to you, the people, for your continued support. Our download numbers are through the roof. Hit us up on iTunes if you haven't already. Subscribe, like, review, all that good stuff. And brace yourselves. We are 15-3 over the last 2 weeks. 15-3. College football is dropping Thursday. The NFL is dropping Friday. We're going to try to keep it hot, people. But for right now, be well and best of luck.